You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
Okay, welcome to the show. It is Greeny here on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Along with Chris Canty, Evan Cohen, with you in for Greeny today. Two-thirds of the unsportsmanlike crew, Michelle Smallman, will join us in the next hour of the show. And I had no plans on starting where we're about to start, but something just happened that was, I almost think, wrong. Borderline wrong what just happened. So, taking people behind the scenes a little bit here, our unsportsmanlike set, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern Time, is down the hall from the Greeny set.
Yeah.
And as we were coming onto the Greeny set, Dan Orlovsky, ESPN NFL analyst, was on Get Up, going off of the Get Up set.
Yeah.
And literally said to you, Virginia grad, how's Virginia doing in the tournament?
Yeah.
Now, they've already been eliminated. That's a move.
Very mean-spirited by
that. That's a move.
Like, at this point, I have to root against UConn, right? They've been the best team in all of college basketball, but I have to root against them with every fiber of my being because of how Dan Orlovsky just threw a shot at me, lobbed a grenade after he pulled the pin, and then walks out of the studio onto the first take set.
Right.
That's a terrible teammate.
Right, and that is...
No, hold on. I don't know if that's been being a bad teammate or him just being a bad guy in general. But, like, it's still raw, the fact that Virginia embarrassed themselves in the tournament. I mean, they went 9 minutes in a half of basketball without scoring a point. And it's absolutely
nuts. But that was days ago, and he really kind of needled you.
I know. I'd already bandaged up the wound. It was starting to close, and then he just cut it open again.
And one other thing on this, again, behind the scenes a little bit, there's actually no time in that spot for CC to respond because we were on the air like 10 seconds after he made that quip at you, and you couldn't even go back at him.
No.
It was really a walk-off.
It was.
Not as bad, though, as what we saw last night with Kentucky. As
the story, a walk-off for Oakland.
Yeah, that's for sure. The story of the NCAA tournament, at least through one day, Oakland, a 14 seed, beat Kentucky, a 3 seed. And this was, we could say, a shocking result, 80-76. Jack Gaulke off the bench, 32 points for Oakland, 10 of 20 from behind the arc. This is a player that attempted 355 field goals this year. 347 of them were from behind the arc. Only two-pointers.
So you're saying you knew he was going to shoot three-pointers.
That's correct.
Based on what he had done all season long.
That is correct.
Got it.
And now we look at Kentucky, 1-4 in their last five tournament games. No Final Four since 2014-2015. And John Calipari is certainly in the crosshairs, their head coach. I've been asking it to people all morning. I will ask it to you again, CeCe. What is his job? Is it to help produce NBA players? Or is it to win college titles?
Well, the answer is yes. It's to win college titles on the way to getting these guys to the NBA because, let's be clear, the life's blood of the Kentucky program is being able to recruit top-tier talent. And the best billboard that Coach Cal has for his talent is guys like Anthony Davis, Devin Booker, Jamal Murray, Tyrese Maxey, Emmanuel Quickley. The list goes on and on. So if you've got those guys and those prep players that are interested in Kentucky have the opportunity to communicate and hear NBA players talk about how integral Coach Cal was in their basketball careers, knowing that those high schoolers' goal is to ultimately end up in the NBA, then you've got a pretty good situation. The only problem is Cal has had a problem with harnessing that talent in recent years and having that translate to success on the biggest stage that college basketball has to offer.
So this is a coach that has produced more NBA players recently than anybody that he's competing with.
Yes.
And I think it is important to note the kind of people that you'd want on your team, right? So this is not any five-star player he's taking. This is, can I look the parents in the eye and say, I'm going to take care of this player like you have, and I'm going to help get them to that next level because these are character people. There's a lot of critique for Calipari today. We have it, but I do think that's important. He helps people create generational wealth for their family. I don't know that Kentucky fans care about that, though.
Well, I think it's important. I don't think that it's the priority, right? Because we are in a results-oriented business. Anytime you start talking about high-level sports that generate a ton of revenue for all involved, then it is a results-oriented business. Your performance in the tournament matters. Now, you can make the argument that Cal and his Kentucky teams recently haven't been positioning themselves the best when it comes to the big dance, right? The last time Cal had a number one seed, his team was in the Final Four. So, I mean, it's been a while since that happened, and so you're wondering how much of the regression in the program's regular season success and them in the conference tournament has impacted their seeding and ergo led to them being ousted in opening weekend of the tournament the last team times they made the big dance. So there's a part of that as well. I also think the shifting landscape of collegiate sports with NIL and teams being able to pay the same kind of players that Cal has been recruited, those one-and-done talents, other teams within your league, within the SEC, being able to get those guys, whether it's coming out of high school or through the transfer portal, has mattered as well in terms of balancing the playing field and not giving Kentucky such a distinct advantage. But, yeah, all of that being said, it's going to be a tough sell for the administration on why they should keep Coach Cal around, you know, going into 2025 and beyond, because the team hasn't had the kind of success in the tournament that you would expect a Kentucky team to have. This is the worst five-year stretch in the NCAA tournament, or five-game stretch in the NCAA tournament, that the Kentucky program has ever had. They're 1-4 in their last five tournament games. The worst five-game tournament stretch that the program has ever had, including being bounced by double-digit seeds in two of the last 3 years. Remember, a few years ago, they lost to St. Peter's. That was a 15 seed. Last night, they lost to Oakland. That was a 14 seed. So it's not just them losing opening weekend of the tournament. It's being embarrassed by these lesser seeds in the tournament overall. Big Blue Nation ain't going to stand for that much longer.
I saw ESPN Radio and Kentucky Sports Radio host Matt Jones put this out there, that in Calipari's book that he wrote when he got to Kentucky, he was talking about the previous regimes of Tubby Smith, who won a championship, and Billy Gillespie, who was the coach in between Tubby and Calipari. In the book, quote, the team had won a total of just two NCAA tournament games in the previous four seasons. That's not supposed to happen in Lexington, end quote. He's won one tourney game in the last 2 years. He's lost 47 games overall in the last 4 years, which goes to your point of it's not only the postseason, it's the regular season not putting them in a position to best perform in the postseason. And when you look at Calipari right now, his contract calls for him to be owed 75% of the value remaining on his deal. That's what the buyout is. So that's more than $33 million. That's the buyout. I am not suggesting you have to fire him. What I'm saying is, if you're Kentucky and your goal is to win a national championship every single year,
which is what it should be.
Okay. And regardless of whatever the players do after they graduate or leave, that's not as important to them as winning while they're there. He does not give you the best option. He just does not. And I believe the best option, if you can get him, would be Billy Donovan, the current head coach of the Chicago Bulls. I believe he gives you a better option to do what you said. When I asked you the question, is it to produce NBA players or to win college titles? And you said, yes. Billy Donovan, when he was at Florida, proved he could do both, and he's a former Kentucky assistant. But there's a bigger picture issue. Seth Greenberg, ESPN college basketball analyst, was on a show on Sportsmanlike. You guys should really listen to it. I enjoy listening to it. Do you enjoy listening to it?
Yeah, I enjoy listening to it. It's a pretty good show.
Yeah, you guys should listen to that. Seth Greenberg had this to say about Coach Calipari.
I think the guys that really know him have seen a change in him, a kinder, gentler Cal in terms of how their teams play, more offensive-oriented Cal, although, you know, like when he said, like, you know, we knew the zone was going to give us a problem. I cannot believe he said that. But the perception of Cal is he's a terrific coach, but that he's always been ahead of the curve in terms of marketing, recruiting, NIL, and everything else. But he's lost a little bit of his edge in terms of living it 24/7.
Wow. I mean, that is telling. And it actually helps to paint the picture in terms of why Kentucky has struggled when you get to this time of year, because we know NCAA tournament play is different than the regular season. It's different than the conference tournament. You're talking about playing games, you know, two games over the course of a weekend, and you're not necessarily having the familiarity with those types of opponents. So, I mean, chemistry comes into play, but more importantly, the edge, the approach, the mental and physical toughness that your team has And if Cal, as a coach, has lost his edge, and that's what our resident coach Seth Greenberg is saying, then that helps explain why Cal's teams, his players, don't have the kind of edge that it takes to make a deep run in the NCAA tournament.
Let me ask you two questions back to back here, one and one.
You're just machine gunning questions.
Yes,
here we go.
Call me Kelly, a machine gun. Here we go. Would you get rid of Calipari if you were Kentucky?
No, I wouldn't get rid of him this summer. No, I mean, that's a big number, $33 million plus whatever coach that you would be bringing in. You're talking about a $50 million proposition. Now, the math changes on that after 2025 when the buyout goes from $33 million to $27 million. Maybe that becomes slightly more palatable, and if he has another embarrassing early exit from the tournament, you could have more ammunition to justify it. But I do think you give him a little more runway to try to figure this thing out. And the reason why is because he does have that direct access to the NBA players that he's recruited in the past. And those guys are really prominent figures in the sport. And if you're one of those high school kids or one of those prep kids and your ultimate goal is to get to the league, being able to have Cal put you on the phone with AD or have Cal put you on the phone with Devin Booker or have Cal put you on the phone with Jamal Murray means something.
Yep.
And so if you're Kentucky, who are you going to transition to that's going to give the recruits that you're looking to bring in that type of access to NBA players?
Okay, so then the second question I had, would you get rid of Cal if I told you that Billy Donovan would take the job?
Why would Billy Donovan want that job? With the pressure that's going to be coming on him of basically following up Coach Cal and knowing the standard at Kentucky versus what he's got right now with the Chicago Bulls, why would you take that job? The job of coaching collegiate sports is just exponentially harder than coaching in professional sports these days with NIL in the shifting landscape and transfer portal, things of that nature. Why would you sign up for that headache if you're Billy Donovan on top of the pressure of having to be the savior of a blue blood program like Kentucky?
All right, well then based on that, I have to ask another question. Would you want this job if you're John Calipari right now?
Yeah, because where are you going?
Like, if
you're Coach Cal, why would you want to leave? Like, Kentucky is not a stepping stone. It's a destination. Like, why would he want to leave Kentucky? They've been playing basketball over 120 years in Kentucky. Why would he want to leave that program?
Okay, so the answer to that for me would be not to take another college basketball job. Is there an NBA job? Now, I don't mean coach. I mean like a president of the team. John Calipari recruiting players to join a team. John Calipari sitting in a meeting with a huge advertising partner. Everything's getting done. You're getting every player you want. You're getting every sponsorship you want. And or sitting right here with us. John Calipari would rightfully get an enormous contract because he is so unbelievably insightful and entertaining when he speaks. He is better at talking than anyone there is. He's elite at that skill. And I'm not saying he can't coach. I'm just saying being in broadcasting or running things versus coaching may actually play to his strengths even more.
Yeah, it could. But, I mean, Coach Cal is a coach, right? Like, I mean, I don't know that I see him in the role of being in an NBA front office or being in front of a microphone at a desk talking about the game. I think he loves coaching so much, and these players are like family to him. That's why he has this closely knit network of guys that he recruited and coached once upon a time. I just don't think that he wants to do those other things. He's clearly not going to be as passionate at those other things as he is coaching and shaping young men and setting them up for future success. So I think you owe it to yourself if you're Kentucky to give Coach Cal another opportunity, another season to get it turned around, and just have the understanding that if it doesn't fix, if something isn't markedly different, markedly better than what we had the last 3 years with the tournament results, that he's probably going to be on his way out.
He is Chris Canty. I am Evan Cohen. We're in for Greeny today. We are brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Normally you can hear us 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern on Sportsman. Like, coming up, many Kentucky fans are ready to see Calipari walk out the door. Is that sentiment shared inside the building? We'll get to that next. It's Greeny on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Greeny, the podcast.
It is Greeny here on ESPN Radio, along with Chris Canty, Evan Cohen, in for Greeny. You hear us normally 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern on Unsportsmanlike here on ESPN Radio. ESPN Bet is now live as the official sportsbook of ESPN. ESPN Bet is the only place to find daily exclusives and offers with your favorite ESPN personalities and shows. Sign up today and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Find all of your favorite markets and bets like in-game wagering, cross-sport parlays, teasers, and all the props you can handle. That's ESPN Bet. Download today. What a play. Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Maybe now they know where Oakland is. An 80-76 upset victory over Kentucky.
This changed everything tonight. There's nobody in the country that doesn't know what Oakland basketball is, and I'm really proud of that.
The call, courtesy of Westwood One, NCAA Radio Network. Oakland over Kentucky. Certainly the biggest story of day one of the college basketball NCAA tournament. Jeff Borzello, ESPN College Basketball Insider, joins us now to discuss it. Jeff, we've been debating it all day. What is the job of John Calipari, to produce NBA players or to produce titles for Kentucky?
It's something in between, but I think Kentucky fans will prefer winning titles at Kentucky. And that's kind of where we are right now after the loss to Oakland, because the lack of success, the lack of postseason success over the last 4 years, it's kind of alarming at a place like Kentucky. And I mean, the stats, you know, they haven't been out of the first weekend of the tournament since 2019. They have one tournament win in that time. They've lost the 15 seed in St. Peter's and a 14 seed in Oakland. Now, you know, you give him the benefit of the doubt because of what he did early in his tenure. He keeps bringing in elite recruiting classes. But, you know, the sport has changed in the last 5 years. And what would concern me as a Kentucky fan is some of the quotes that he gave last night in his press conference after the game, where he said that he's not going to stop recruiting freshmen, which is fine. I mean, he's going to have to recruit freshmen either way. But he said, you know, the game got old on us suddenly. Hey, it hasn't been that sudden. I mean, it's been 4 or 5 years now where the grad transfer rule's been in effect, the COVID rule's been in effect. So teams have been older for a few years now. And the other thing he said was, you know, we have a great group coming in. He does have this number 2 recruiting class in the country coming in. But he said, you know, maybe we'll go in the portal, maybe we won't. He needs to. He needs to get a couple older guys. If he can see that, you know, being young and playing 3 or 4 freshmen against teams that are 22, 23, 24 years old, he's going to have to realize that he's got to go get some guys that have been in college for a while. You know, I just think when he started at Kentucky and even his late years in Memphis, he was getting the best of the best. He was getting, you know, you could pretty much split the top 10 recruits between Kentucky and Duke, and they were going to go out there and win a bunch of games. You can't do that anymore. And even though he's bringing in the number 2 recruiting class, he doesn't have a single top 10 freshman coming in. And it's really hard to win with freshmen, and it's really hard to win with freshmen that aren't the best of the best. And right now he's not doing that, and he's not getting transfers to supplement that. And so that leads to a lot of frustrations with the kind of current state of Kentucky and concern about where they might be going moving forward.
And, Jeff, you led me exactly where I wanted to go. I mean, the last decade and a half in the one-and-done era, you're talking about two freshman-led teams actually winning a national title. And one of them was Coach Cal's team in 2012. The other one, if I'm not mistaken, is 2015 Duke. But I'm curious from your perspective, when it comes to, you know, Coach Cal's teams being susceptible to early-round exits because of their youth and inexperience, why is that more applicable to them than it is other programs that have that blue blood prestige around college basketball?
I think some of it is it's so, I mean, the attention and the focus on Kentucky and the bubble that Kentucky fans are in, where they think they are the best program in the country. They need to show that in March. And Kentucky has had these high profile exits where, you know, last night you can just look at Reed Sheppard. He's been the best freshman in the country all season. He has the worst game of his college career. Rob Dillingham, probably the second best freshman in the country, he goes 2 for 9. DJ Wagner, the number 2 or 3 recruit last year, doesn't score a point. And it's things like this where Kentucky fans are going to say, you cannot win in March with freshmen. And Cal keeps trying to do it, and he keeps flaming out early. And it's sort of the, if he realizes that he needs to change, but is he too stubborn to change? Does he want to change? Because again, you mentioned the NBA part earlier. That was the first question you guys asked. It's churning out NBA players still. It's still making a ton of money for these guys in the pros. But Kentucky fans, they want to see results in college. They don't want to have to wait for Devin Booker to make $300 million to say, oh, he was a success at Kentucky. They want to see wins. They want to see Final Fours. They want to see championships. And right now they're not getting it.
We're talking with Jeff Borzello, ESPN College Basketball Insider, Kentucky, by the way. Of note, 26 NBA players in the NBA to start this season, the most of any program, obviously. You mentioned that Calipari is going to have to consider going into the transfer portal and looking at building a roster that way, but you're not sure if he will. Why is he against it?
Well, I think part of it is because, you know, in the recruiting process, he's going to tell these kids, hey, you're going to come in and play. And I think that he also sees if he's going to have a five-star freshman come in and barely play, nowadays that kid's going to leave and he's going to transfer after a year. I think Cal does want to kind of develop these guys, get these guys in, and then put them in the NBA. And he wants to see them doing it with, you know, XYZ shooting guard from Kentucky. He doesn't want to see started at Kentucky, transferred to Tennessee and average 20 a game. So I think he wants, you know, to kind of go through the ups and downs with freshmen. And it doesn't work anymore. And you can look at the transfers he had in yesterday's game. Trey Mitchell, who didn't come until after Bob Huggins got fired last summer, late in the process from West Virginia. And Antonio Reeves, who was thinking about transferring out of the program last summer. And those are, you know, maybe the two best players on the floor for him last night. He needs more of those kind of guys. And again, he's bringing in a bunch of freshmen. They're not elite. They're number 14, 15, 16, which is great. But they're not Anthony Davis. You know, they're not these kind of transcendent talents that can lift you in a game like last night where you're going to say, okay, I'm going to go out and get 30. You know, Reed Sheppard couldn't do that. Rob Dillingham couldn't do that last night. And it's getting harder and harder for 18-year-olds to do that against 23-year-olds.
So, Jeff, Kentucky fans are clearly frustrated. I'm assuming the athletic department, the administration, is frustrated with Coach Cal. But buyout aside, can you talk to us a little bit about the difficulty with having to try to move on from a figure like Coach Cal and the ripple effect that can have with this program?
Yeah, I think there's a few things. One is that he hasn't lost the program. He hasn't lost his team. Guys still love playing for him, and you could see that in last night's quotes from guys like Reed Sheppard and Dillingham after the game saying, you know, the coaches don't take shots. They don't play defense. They did a great job. The other part is he is still recruiting at an incredibly high level, and Kentucky's going to want that. Their fans still want that as much as they say they want older guys. They still want to beat out Duke for recruits. They still want to beat out Kansas for recruits. That's still a thing, and Calipari's still doing that. The other part, and this is kind of what you mentioned with the buyout, it's incredibly expensive. So, you know, $33 million, north of $33 million to pay out the rest of this contract. On top of that, you're going to have to go get a coach, and any good coach right now that Kentucky will want has a pretty sizable buyout. And so you kind of go down the list. Nate Oates at Alabama just signed an extension. To get him out of there, it costs $18 million. T.J. Offenberger, Iowa State, $17 million. Scott Drew just made kind of a big show about turning down Louisville and going back to Baylor. I'm assuming he's going to get a new contract out of that. That's going to have some sort of buyout. And so you kind of go down the list, and all these guys, it's going to be hard to get them out of their contracts. So, you know, throw another $8 to $10 million on top of that, and then throw a first year salary, which presumably is going to be around $8 million. Suddenly you're at $50 million in kind of one fell swoop in 1 month or 2 weeks to fire Cal, buy somebody out, and pay their salary. It's a lot of money. And again, we can go down the list of guys. There's not a ton of immediately viable candidates. I mean, Dan Hurley's not leaving Stores for Kentucky, especially if they win another national championship. I don't think he's leaving for Kentucky. And so I think that's another part of it, is there's no real obvious guys to turn to. Could they go after Billy Donovan? Could they go after Bruce Pearl or Kelvin Sampson, somebody like that? Sure. But that's going to cost money. And it's not a guarantee those guys say yes. So I think that's kind of the thing that people aren't thinking about, is that Kentucky can't just go out and hire Nate Oates. That's going to cost a ton of money, and I don't think he's leaving. So it's more than just, we're going to pay Cal, we're going to find somebody new, we're going to get it rolling again. It's going to be a process.
You brought up a lot of the names that we've been discussing. Billy Donovan's been the one that I've been throwing out there all morning. I'll throw out one other one. Wild curveball, but hear me out on this, Jeff. What about Richard Pitino and try to beg him to bring his dad as an assistant?
That's intriguing. I don't see it being very viable. It would be intriguing. Hey, what if they call Rick again? What if they bring him back? He said last week that his biggest regret is leaving Kentucky. Why not try to lure him back and have him finish out his career there? Again, I don't think they're going to do that. I don't know if Rick is leaving St. John's ever. But hey, I mean, Kentucky's got to make some calls. There's worse calls you can make than Billy Donovan or Pitino.
Let's just go here then. Let's just finish this conversation on the Cal future. Jeff, is there a chance that last night was John Calipari's last game at Kentucky?
Yeah, I think there's a chance. I mean, there's a large segment of the Kentucky fan base that has not been happy with his recent performances, that has been pretty vocal about it. And Cal has not really helped himself with, you know, some of the stuff he's done over the past couple of years, even off the court. I mean, he's kind of, you know, picked fights with the football coach and kind of complained about facilities and resources and things like that. So he's kind of alienated a few people there, a few powerful people there. And so there is a chance that kind of large segment of the fan base is enough for Mitch Barnhart to make a move and for the boosters and the donors to round up enough money to get him out. Again, I'm not totally sure it's going to happen just because it's so expensive and I don't know who's replacing him. But yeah, I mean, I think there's a good chance. I think that there was a part of the fan base has wanted him gone for a couple of years, and I think last night might have been a tipping point for them.
Final thing here with Jeff Borzello, ESPN College Basketball Insider. Obviously, Kentucky and Oakland aside, the next biggest story in your mind from day one of the tournament was what?
I think it was probably – I mean, it's hard to go against Duquesne, really. I mean, Keith Danbrot is retiring, and he announced it, and he's, you know, LeBron's former coach, and there's just a lot of kind of fun little quirks with that story, and he's still rolling. And they beat BYU pretty handily. So that's kind of a fun story. I think that one and NC State playing lose-or-go-home basketball for six straight games now and never losing, I think those are kind of fascinating stories.
Jeff, great stuff. We appreciate it. You can read Jeff's stuff at ESPN.com. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me on.
All right, it is Greeny here on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Bundle home and auto and save. Visit Progressive.com for more information. Certainly interesting that there's a possibility that was Calipari's last game. Maybe not a probability because of the money, but a possibility, CC, because of it. But if you think about it, this is a guy that won a championship a long time ago.
2012.
And yet,
he's got a lot of mileage out of that championship.
And it's funny who, like, his predecessors, Pitino's Hall of Famer, we know that. Tubby Smith, we never bring up that he won a championship at Kentucky.
Yeah.
And people say, oh, it was Pitino's player. He still won the championship there.
Mm-hmm.
But is Calipari now on that list of people that you would look at and say, they're still living off of something that was a long time ago, title-wise in sports?
Yeah, he's one of the ones on the list. Like, I mean, here's the thing. Doc Rivers keeps getting great jobs. He's getting a lot of mileage out of that championship. What was that, 2007-ish?
No, 2009.
2008.
Okay, eight, so split the difference. 2008. Now, he's getting a lot of mileage out of that championship. I mean, think about the jobs that Doc Rivers has had since the Boston Celtics. He has the Clippers job. He's had the Sixers job. He's got this job now with the Milwaukee Bucks. Doc Rivers got a lot of good jobs,
yep,
and ain't won a championship, ain't got close to winning a championship in a really long time.
Right, and there's a difference between somebody that is living off of winning a championship and hasn't done anything and the person that is not close to repeating what they once did, right? Like, Mike McCarthy is a head coach for the Dallas Cowboys. You and I bicker about this constantly as to whether or not He is a great coach. I say great, you say very good. You've never knocked him. But this is a guy that won a championship a long time ago. Has had really good seasons, but not really close to winning a championship, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sean Payton. Sean Payton's had a lot of good seasons. He was with the Cowboys when you were there, if I'm not mistaken, opposite side of the ball. He's had a lot of really good seasons. Won a championship, not very recent.
Yeah, but he got close to winning a championship. What was that, 2018, with that Nickell Robey-Coleman pass interference, and the Rams got the nod instead of him, and the Rams went to the Super Bowl? I remember that pass interference call that led to a rule change where they were experimenting with making pass interference reviewable. All I'm just saying is Sean Payton actually got close to getting back in recent years. You know what I mean? Doc Rivers ain't been close to winning a championship in recent years. I don't think we can say Mike McCarthy has been close to winning a championship in recent years.
We can't say Calipari has either.
No.
And this is the thing. Calipari, when you actually look at his success at Kentucky, his NBA success at Kentucky is unbelievable.
Yeah.
But his actual win percentage, the kinds of seasons they've had at Kentucky with him as a head coach, is not that much different than Tubby Smith. Yet nobody ever brings up Tubby Smith except for days like today.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, this is a guy that is living off of a championship and the NBA, and I don't think the Kentucky fans want him anymore.
I got another name for you.
Yeah.
What about player Aaron Rodgers?
So he's won four MVPs a bunch since then, but I agree with you.
I mean, what, 2010?
Yes.
The 2010 championship?
Yeah.
For a guy that's won four MVPs, he's only played in one Super Bowl.
And hosted NFC championship games, didn't get to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
13-10, I think they lost to the Niners, something
that
ridiculous.
That was in the divisional round, yeah. The Niners didn't score an offensive touchdown.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's the thing, though. I mean, with Aaron Rodgers in the four MVPs, there hasn't been a player or quarterback that's won three or more MVPs that hasn't played in multiple Super Bowls except Aaron Rodgers. Just say a lot of mileage. Aaron Rodgers getting a lot of mileage out of that 2010 championship.
Cam throws out another person in sports that is living off of titles from years ago, Jerry Jones.
Oh, yeah.
But here's the thing.
Yeah. Oh,
Jerry
yeah.
Jones.
And they might not even be his titles. They might be them Jimmy Johnson's titles.
But he's created the most valuable brand in all of sports.
So is that the win for Jerry Jones?
Well, that's where it's really tough. We assume that people judge their winning and losing the way that we would judge it, right? Actually winning the Super Bowl, actually winning a Stanley Cup or a World Series or an NBA Finals. A guy like Jerry Jones has created a multi-billion dollar business off of something that he paid, what, hundreds of millions of dollars for?
Yeah.
I mean, there is a win in there, but in terms of winning and losing,
yeah. But
yes,
here's,
the
thing: none of those figures get to decide what their legacy is. That is for the fans and for the media to do. Like, we decide. You can't tell us what your legacy is.
Right.
We tell you what your legacy is because we're the ones that are patronizing your entertainment product. We're the ones that are watching the games. We're the ones that are judging you and comparing you to the all-time greats. So we're going to determine that. Like, when it comes to Coach Cal, like, this is starting to become the perception around him, the reputation around him is, he's got to have great players that are going to go on to do great things in the NBA, but they're not going to accomplish much in the way of winning when it matters most in collegiate sports.
You've compared them to the Cowboys, right?
Yeah. The Kentucky Wildcats are the Dallas Cowboys.
Which slogan?
It's like
or
that Spider-Man. It's like that Spider-Man meme when they're pointing at each other. Like the Kentucky teams in college basketball and the Dallas Cowboys are pointing at each other, no doubt.
Which mantra is more ridiculous right now? When Calipari said we're built for March, or when Jerry Jones said we're going all in? Both of them have been said, right?
The Coach Cal one seems worse
Coach
today.
Coach Cal said we're built for March. Not for long March,
exactly.
Obviously. Not for the entire month of March.
Yeah, if that's the case, you need a rebuild.
Right.
Coach Cal, you need to remodel.
But Jerry's saying they're going all in. All right, coming up, we got some NFL to get to, obviously. Also, there's an update on Brandon Ingram. He got hurt last night. But we got sneaky Cam trivia. Sneaky Cam trivia here on Greeny, coming to you live from the Seaport, brought to you by Grey Goose. What do you have for us, Cam?
Yeah, we're going to talk about the Cardinals potentially trading the number 4 pick. If they don't, we think they're going to take a receiver. So who holds the rookie record for receiving yards per game in their rookie season?
Rookie record, receiving yards per game in their rookie season. He asks it in a way that makes me think it's not definitely a wide receiver. We will get to that coming up. It's Greeny here on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Greeny, the podcast.
Along with Chris Canty, Evan Cohen with you here in for Greeny on ESPN Radio. ESPN Bet is now live, the official sportsbook of ESPN Bet. ESPN is ESPN Bet, the only place to find daily exclusives and offers with your favorite ESPN personalities and shows. Sign up today and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Find all of your favorite markets and bets like in-game wagering, cross-board parlays, teasers, and all the props you can handle. That's ESPN Bet. Download today. What a play. Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Before we get to Sneaky Cam trivia, I want to give you an update. The Pelicans have just tweeted out of the NBA. Brandon Ingram underwent an MRI after hyperextending his left knee during the third quarter of last night's game against the Orlando Magic. The results of this MRI revealed a left knee bone contusion. Ingram will be reevaluated in 2 weeks, and additional updates will be appropriately provided. That is less than you initially thought, I know, in watching
that
live, right?
That was ugly when it happened in the third quarter against the Magic last night. I thought it could be worse than that, but the fact that it's a bone bruise, I mean, the knee is structurally intact, so hopefully this means that Brandon Ingram will be around when the Pelicans get ready for the postseason.
All right, time now for some Sneaky Cam trivia with Hembo out today. Hembo grilling up wings, I saw on his social media last night. A guy who doesn't eat food for taste. Grilling up wings.
He's
no
lying
sense.
About that, because he always has stuff on his Traeger grill. It always looks delicious, and then he comes in on the air and he's like, "I don't eat food for taste." Like, stop putting on a show. We know you're more of a normal human that you put on.
No, he's not more of a normal human, but maybe with
I don't
eating,
know.
He is.
He's just an actor.
I'm about to say, you're not going through the gymnastics of putting stuff on the grill unless flavor mattered to you. Yes. Otherwise, you just throw it in the oven.
Or he's
right?
just doing it for Instagram. He's trying to become an influencer.
Oh. That's not going to happen. All right, Cam, what's the trivia?
We're looking for the player that holds the rookie record for receiving yards per game in a single season. I will say this isn't some like random person who played one game and had a big game. They have to have played, you know, a certain minimum of games. So it is a person who had a pretty full rookie season.
All right, I was initially going to go Puka Nacua because I thought maybe it was just like so easy it was a trick, but I'm not. I'm going to go Randy Moss. I'm going to keep it simple.
I'm going Odell Beckham Jr.
That's a good one.
Odell set the world on fire when he came into the league. I mean, that guy was unbelievable, especially everybody goes back to the catch that he had against the Dallas Cowboys. People forgot that they actually lost the game, but the play that he made, it was unbelievable. But when Odell came in his rookie year, he's whipping all over the place after catching touchdown passes. My guess, Cam, is Odell Beckham Jr., and you wouldn't tell me whether or not it was an active player, so I'm assuming that it is a guy that's currently active. That's why I'm going with Odell.
All right, Bubba.
Yeah, my first thought, well, I was thinking Andre Johnson, but I don't think that's right. I don't think this is right either, but I'm just going to go with my boy Dez Bryant.
Okay, so we have Dez, we have Odell, and we have Randy Moss. And one of you is correct. The right answer is OBJ.
Hey!
Canty gets it right.
Nice.
If you remember, OBJ only played 12 games in his rookie season,
but
still had a huge season, so his average per game is the highest at 109 yards per game.
Wow.
The next three are a bunch of old guys from like the 50s and 60s. Then you have Justin Jefferson, Puka Nacua, Anquan Boldin, Ja'Marr Chase, and Randy Moss.
So we were in the mix, well, except for Bubba.
I don't know where Dez was.
He was going for a $110 in games in his rookie season. That's wild.
Wait, Bubba, you don't think that the answer of Odell should actually count?
I mean, he barely even played half the season.
He played 12 games.
12 of a possible 16 games?
Dez, by the way, 46.8 yards per game in his rookie year. So pretty far off from the 109 from OBJ.
That's lower.
I'm sitting here looking at OBJ. 12 touchdowns. 1,300 yards receiving in his rookie year.
And he took a visit, by the way, this week, according to reports from the Miami Herald, to the Dolphins.
Yeah, Miami.
So that'll be an interesting one if he signs there. He would be a third receiver there. Unless he's really good, and then maybe that's how they reduce some of the costs around the team and to get other guys. Would they ever consider moving one of Hill or Waddle? Probably not.
Probably not, but you need three receivers in today's NFL.
So Cam asked that question because we are going to, after the first three quarterbacks in the draft, or maybe first four quarterbacks in the draft, see a run on wide receivers. Marvin Harrison Jr. out of Ohio State is considered the best one, and we've all, for the however many weeks here, kind of penciled him into Arizona at number four. Their general manager, Monty Osifort, met with the media yesterday, and well, maybe we shouldn't pencil him in just yet.
There'll be a big neon sign that says open, and we'll, I don't like it blinking. That kind of messes with my eyes, but yeah, we're always going to be listening.
Always listening.
Wow.
Open for business. What does that tell you specifically about Arizona at number four, CC?
That tells me they're not making a pick inside the top five. That tells me that pick is going somewhere. With all of these teams angling, desperate to get a quarterback, think about it. The Minnesota Vikings at 11, the Broncos at 12, the Raiders at 13. Now, two of those three have already said, yeah, we in the business of trying to get up to get one of these quarterbacks at the top of this year's draft. I mean, think about it. The Vikings, just a week ago, on Friday of last week, decided to do the dance and trade with the Houston Texans to pick up an additional first-round pick. They're not just going to stand pat at 11 and 23. They're going to try to package picks together to get inside of the top 10 and get a quarterback. And the natural pivot point for this year's draft has to be viewed as that fourth overall pick, with Monty Osifort saying what he said yesterday. So it just tells me that it's almost a virtual certainty that the Arizona Cardinals are not going to make that pick. And the question now becomes, who's going to slide into that slot?
Okay, let's go there for a second. So tell me, just in general, when you're trading 11 and 23 like Minnesota could potentially do, how high can that get you without anything else attached to it? Can that get you all the way to four? Does that get you to five with the Chargers? We have no indication that the Giants would want to move down unless maybe, possibly, some of the quarterbacks are off the board, but then I don't know that Minnesota would want to move up. So how high can 11 and 23 get you?
Well, okay, according to the draft value trade chart, if you have the 11th pick, that's worth 1,250 points. If you have the number 23 pick, that's worth 760 points. Those are the picks that Minnesota owns. The number 4 pick is worth 1,800 points. So theoretically, those two picks could get you that. The only question is Arizona comfortable sliding outside of the top 10 and costing themselves an opportunity at all three of the receivers that we're anticipating being at the top of this year's draft, that being Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, and Rome Odunze? Are you comfortable sliding back that far and potentially not getting your hands on any of those guys? I don't have the answer to that, but what's clearly obvious is that Arizona doesn't necessarily have this huge separation when it comes to the draft grades with Marvin Harrison Jr. and the number two or number three receiver on the board, which is why you would entertain that possibility.
Okay, so that's the other interesting part. So let's take this step by step. For a while, it was a one quarterback draft, Caleb Williams. Then it became a two quarterback draft with Drake May. Then it became a three quarterback draft with the Heisman Trophy winner, Jaden Daniels. Is it now a four quarterback draft?
Yes. I think there are four quarterbacks that are going to go in the top five.
Okay. For a while, that J.J. McCarthy from Michigan being the other one. For a while, it was a one wide receiver draft.
Yeah.
Maybe like ever in Marvin Harrison Jr. Everybody's saying this guy's ridiculous. How many wide receivers are part of this draft that are close enough to Marvin Harrison Jr. to group together?
It's three. And if you want to throw in Brock Bowers, the tight end H-back from Georgia, you could possibly do that. But I think this is a three-wide receiver draft. But what becomes interesting, if you're looking at the Vegas odds on who's going to take J.J. McCarthy, the odds on favorite, the Minnesota Vikings, They have the best odds to draft J.J. McCarthy. Their first pick is at 11th overall. They've got minus 140 odds to take J.J. McCarthy. So what that tells me is that the Minnesota Vikings are going to get inside the top 10. And in order to guarantee yourself an opportunity to take J.J. McCarthy, which would fit your timeline based on your roster, you're going to have to get inside the top 5 and probably be in front of the Chargers.
This is Greeny on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Thanks for listening to Greeny the podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Or watch the show through the Watch tab on the ESPN app. Also catch Greeny on Get Up, weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN. And also available wherever you get your podcasts.